Listen well, all of you. The princess shall indeed grow in grace and beauty, beloved by all who know her. But before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she shall prick her finger on the spindle of a spinning wheel and die.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Next Door Villain Podcast, the show where we talk about villains as if they were our next door neighbors and we wanted to empathize with them. That's where the title of the show comes from.
Right. And we empathize with them so well that you feel the need to go to your neighbors, to the villain's house, knock on it and ask them, can you be my neighbor?
Yeah, I think this is actually...
Can you be my friend?
Yeah, they're already your neighbor in this fictional story.
Can you be my friendly neighbor?
I don't think we've ever explained the title of the show before.
Oh, yeah. That's because, well, you thought of the title. So I just thought, well, Joe, he knows what it means, so.
Oh, did you not know?
It's just his little secret.
Did you not know what it meant before this moment?
I mean, I could assume.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's your villain next door. They're your friend. And they're just like your next door neighbor.
Yes, and our next door neighbor today is someone who has been referred to as a mistress of evil. She is perhaps one of the most notable and powerful villains in the Disney universe. And of course, I am talking about Maleficent.
Yes. She is magnificently malicious.
Is that where the Maleficent, is it?
I actually don't know. But I just thought that it was a nice play on words, I think.
It is. Yeah. But I think that maybe the mal... M-A-L, that's like a root, I think that's like a Latin root that has to do with evil or bad.
Like malicious?
Maybe that's how malicious gets.
Right. So we're getting academic today.
Yeah, I think based on my very limited Spanish education, I feel like...
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Anyways, Maleficent, she is the villain of Disney's Sleeping Beauty from whenever that movie came out.
1959. The year my dad was born.
Wow. A movie that...
Fun fact. That no one needed to know.
A movie that I didn't really like.
Oh, sad.
Did you like it?
I mean, it's an older Disney film, so, you know, it has a very... classic vibe to it. It doesn't feel as badass as, say, like other Disney films that I like Mulan. One critique that I have of Sleeping Beauty is that
the main character
is asleep for most of the film. So I always thought that was a little weird.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the reasons that Maleficent stands out so much.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, yeah. Like she is like a character that we're drawn to much more. Because the princess is, she's asleep for a lot of the film.
Yeah.
Just in opposition to that, Maleficent just seems like she's so alive, has so much energy, and she's so powerful. And I was doing some reading about the character, and originally there was maybe some thought that she'd be kind of like this old witch, kind of evil witch kind of character, but that didn't really fit the look of the movie and the power that the actress who played the voice actress who played Maleficent so that then they slimmed her down and made her this powerful, strong figure. And I think she ultimately stole the film and our hearts.
Oh yeah, I would like her as my neighbor.
Yeah, but before we delve too much further into it, we got to do our 30-second intro challenge where we spend 30 seconds trying to tell our readers everything there is to know about the character to give them backstory for the episode in case they haven't seen anything with the villain we're talking about. Have I over-explained this?
No, no, not at all. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
Maleficent is a fairy who has basically gone bad. And there are there's a modern film that creates a story for why she has gone bad, but the original story doesn't really give us the story, I don't think. I feel like I'm kind of failing here, but she's got these big horns and she has all these magical abilities. She can like make trees grow out of the ground and she can fly with her staff.
She can make trees go out of the ground?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she can make like vines grow up. That was in the new live action Disney Maleficent film, but I also read about it as one of her powers before that movie. So I think it's technically canon.
Right. Sorry, my mom was calling.
Oh.
I just rejected the call.
Very Maleficent of you.
I know, right? I'll call her back, maybe. I'm sorry. I kind of distracted you because you kept saying fairies gone bad. And
all right, are you ready?
I won't explain that reference. Anywho,
all right.
Okay. You kept. Yeah.
All right.
Fairies, okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So Maleficent has she works with a lot of really green fire, and in the 1959 film, she showed up at Aurora's birth celebration at the castle and was unhappy that she wasn't invited. So she cast a spell on Aurora that she would die upon pricking her finger on a spinning wheel. But thankfully, one of the other good fairies or whatever just allowed her to sleep. And she really fucked shit up with a lot of green, cool fire.
Time's up. All right, that was a way better explanation. And okay, so to fill in some of the gaps, if you don't know the story of Sleeping Beauty, the curse is that if by the time she turns 16, or when she turns 16, she'll prick herself on a spinning needle.
Yeah. Oh, what's the name? It's like spinning wheel needle thing. I don't know. It's an item from 1778.
Yeah. Whatever. So she'll prick her finger. She'll go into this deep sleep. And the only way that she can wake up is by true love's kiss.
Yeah. Which is kind of random, honestly. Yeah. Why would you wake up from a kiss?
Right. And how could true love occur between you and somebody else?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
well,
yeah.
Well,
we won't think too hard about that.
The live action movie actually has a really good take on that. And I'll say I didn't love the live action Disney film, but one of the things that I thought was cool about it was that when the prince kissed sleeping Aurora, she did not wake up. But when Maleficent kissed her, she did wake up.
Hmm.
And in the Disney movie, they take a lot of liberties, the story. And basically, even though Maleficent cursed Aurora, she did come to love her, kind of watching over her as this god fairy and being in her life.
Yeah.
And so true love in this case was not romantic. It was familial, I guess, in a way.
Platonic.
Yeah, platonic.
Yeah. So you can kiss someone and it'd be platonic?
Yeah, like on that cheek.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't watch the live action. I'm going to kiss you.
Yeah.
What was that? Oh, it was just platonic love. Platonic true love. Don't worry about it.
So I think that I'm guessing that younger generations today, probably people who are younger than us, maybe know Maleficent more from live action Disney films, Maleficent, and then the sequel, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. Whereas older, probably our age and older, who grew up before that movie came out, are probably more familiar with the Disney version. Now, there is some debate between Tiana and I about what exactly is canon for the Maleficent story? Because the Disney live action movie does pretty much exactly what we do in this podcast, which is imagines a very empathetic story for Maleficent.
Yeah.
And in that story, she is basically betrayed by a lover And then mm-hmm. in response, curses that person's child, Aurora. But then ultimately, while she's watching over Aurora, she falls in love with her, in a familial type motherly love, and then ultimately it ends up trying to save Aurora's life.
Yeah.
It's a lovely story.
It is a lovely story. But you know what I like, Joe?
What's that?
I like challenge.
Yeah. Also, not a great movie. Just
yeah. that too.
I watched both of them this week. The first Maleficent live action was all right. It was okay.
Yeah.
The second one, Mistress of Evil, was kind of a slog, and I had a really hard time sitting through it.
Yeah. Sequels kinda, usually are.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had watched the Disney version.
Yeah. And what I mean by challenge is that, you know, the remake, Maleficent, gives her a very understandable reason to be evil. Like, she was betrayed by this man. Probably, was it the king or something? Someone who royalty? Someone of royalty or power?
Actually, he wasn't. He was poor. But he became king by drugging Maleficent and cutting her wings off and then presenting her wings to the dying king. And then
And that is very understandable. Like, I would be evil and I would be Maleficent in that story as well.
I
probably do the same thing that Maleficent does in the remake Maleficent live action movies. But I like to be challenged in that I want to try to empathize with this lady, Maleficent, who casts a spell because she was not invited to a damn party. And that is challenging, and I kind of like that. Plus, it was made in 1959. This is, I think, the first time that we really see Maleficent. I tried looking up the original story of Sleeping Beauty, and I couldn't find Maleficent in there. Of course, I didn't try very hard. So I went to the 1959 film, and that's what I'm mostly going to be talking about myself, anyway, because I want to try and see if we can empathize with this petty lady here.
Yeah, I agree. It is more of a fun challenge. We'll go back to the Disney 1959 version. And I know it's really evil that she cursed a child because she wasn't invited to its christening.
Yeah.
But I kind of love the pettiness.
Me too.
The audacity of her to show up to a party she wasn't invited to because she's evil, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you like imagined in your mind, like maybe if someone left you out of something, how many times have you like played the scene in your mind? Like, ooh, it would be so cool if I went up to these people and I called them out on it in a very witty way. Like, and I brought attention to it and I called people out publicly. And then they would feel so bad and I would be such a badass. Like, how many times have you played that in your mind? Yeah, it's a badass to show up in front of those who isolated with you. And then it'd be even more badass if you had like horns and like a bunch of green fire. And you were like, I'm also hot. So please, you know, let me cast this spell and I'll show you.
Yeah, imagine that your friends like went out to dinner and forgot to invite you.
Right, and they posted on Instagram.
And then you like marched into the restaurant.
Oh yeah. And you just stand there, you don't even say anything. Hello. Or you say, "Hello, how are you?" "Good." And then everyone's like, "She saw us." You're like, "Bye." And then you walk away with your little purse. that's what I think of. That's my witty talk.
I think Maleficent would have the audacity to sit down at a table next to them.
Oh, yeah.
Order the fanciest thing on the menu and just enjoy a meal alone.
Right? On the table right next to them and just stare at them while they eat. Like, yum, yum.
Yeah. Well, they like have to awkwardly sit through that dinner.
I think you're better at revenge than I am.
I really, you know, whereas Maleficent went the curse route, I like to go with a kind of like guilt.
Right.
You know, make them really inflict the pain on themselves.
Right. Man, we must have a lot of deep-seated petty grudges.
Yeah. Well, and so I know that the reason that she didn't get invited to this ceremony is most likely because she is an evil being who has probably caused a lot of harm. So, like, yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get why they probably didn't invite her. Mm-hmm. But I also really empathize with that feeling of being left out mm-hmm. of something.
Yeah.
A big event that probably the whole kingdom is invited to. And it would upset me. It would make me mad.
Yeah. FOMO sucks. The feeling of missing out. And it affects all of us. I'm sure all of us have felt left out unless you're like Paris Hilton. I don't think Paris Hilton feels left out, but I don't know where I went with her. But
yeah, I don't know anything about Paris Hilton. So
I heard she's except very nice.
That she has a cooking show now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Cooking with Paris, yeah. I've not seen it.
But yeah, FOMO. So I have a source, you know, it says it can cause physical symptoms, headaches, chest pain, and mental symptoms like depression. Of course, social media doesn't help. Like, we've all, I think, felt the negative effects of FOMO.
Well, yeah, like 20, 30 years ago, if you're friends did something without you, you didn't know about it
right
until, like, you know, maybe a week or two later when someone mentioned it. But now,
yeah,
now whenever your friends do anything, you pretty much always see it when you go on Instagram or Facebook and they're posting about it.
Yeah, it sucks. So yeah, so I would like to get kind of personal early on in this episode. Well, I guess not that early. I want to ask, in order for us to feel, to see if we can relate to Maleficent, when was a time you felt left out? And did the feeling make you want to put an evil spell on someone if you could?
Yeah, actually, the one thing that kind of comes to mind that you will relate to, Tiana, but almost none of our listeners probably will.
Our baddies.
When Tiana and I were in college together, we were on the competitive speech team. So we spent a lot of our weekends traveling.
Oh yeah.
With the speech team to go to competitions, and we'd leave like on Friday and come back late Sunday night, which meant a lot of times missing out on things that were happening with our other friends at college. And I think probably like athletes relate to this as well, or people in other kind of competitive groups. So there are just a lot of times where we would be gone on these competitions, and while we were away, my friends and my roommates would do all this cool stuff. Like one time they shoveled all the snow off of our roof onto one of our other roommates' cars and buried it.
Nice.
And I had to miss out.
Sounds
on
like
that.
A real and Fargo I... get together, a real Fargo outing, real Fargo event. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it turns out there's not a whole lot of things you can miss out on in North Dakota.
There's some though.
So that was always like really, really difficult to know that all this stuff was happening and that I was away so often for these competitions.
Yeah.
And I mean, did it make me want to do something bad? No, not really. I was just kind of sad about it. Oh, actually, I mean, it is frustrating mm-hmm. though.
Right.
Right. Cause it's like, you want to be like, hey, can you do something this weekend when I'm here? Can we do something this weekday? And you want to force other people to change their plans to fit you be simply because you don't want to miss out, but that's not fair to other people.
Right.
Something, you know, it's okay to ask sometimes, but it's not something you can demand of anyone else because they've got their own lives and their own thing going on.
Right. Yeah. That is really relatable. You know what I would get jealous of? This isn't my answer, but I would get so jealous that people back at school during the weekend would be able to sleep. Like on our competitions, you know, when we would be traveling, we would wake up at like 4:30, 5 a.m. on like Saturday and Sunday. And whenever I would wake up, I would be like, oh my God, everyone that I know back on campus is sleeping in right now. And I'm so jealous. That's what I would get upset about is.
Yeah.
I want to sleep too. If only I were here, so I could sleep.
You empathize with Aurora.
Yeah. Or maybe I was just jealous of Aurora.
Jealous of Aurora.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. When did you experience FOMO?
This one is really petty. And I'm gonna share a petty one because Maleficent, honestly, she's kind of petty and I'm here for it. I was in China, but really the setting doesn't matter too much.
No, it's a humble brag.
It's a humble brag. I was in China. See, this is why it's so petty, right? I had an opportunity that so many people have not had the opportunity to do, which was one, to study abroad in China, and then two, participate in a singing competition when I was in China. Like, how many people can say, oh, I participated in a singing competition in China? Not very many people, right? But I still had like a bitter attitude because I did this singing competition, but I did the preliminary rounds and I made it to the next round, but it wasn't the finals. And in the next round, which was more on stage in front of more people, so it was kind of like the semifinals before the finals, I really messed up. Like, I was trying to sing Amy Winehouse and they put on the music and I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I really like beat myself up over it because, oh, I'm better than that. You know, like I have an okay voice. I could have done way better. And I didn't make it to the finals, but one of my classmates who I was in China with, who was also from our same college, made it to the finals. And he's just so good on stage. And I was really happy for him, but like at finals, everyone was like so supportive of him and they had like signs like, yay, you're doing great. And everyone was so supportive and I wasn't in the finals and I felt like crap, but it was so petty and it was selfish. And I actually recognized that. I recognized both of those things, but I felt bad because like, oh, like, no one cares that I went to the semifinals. And even though I messed up, I still went to the semifinals, but no one really gives a crap. No one was really there except for one person during the semifinals to watch me. And I also, like, I felt left out, you know, because felt like people looked at me and they, in their minds, they thought, oh, that's our classmate who didn't make it. So we're just going to ignore her because if we cheer too much in front of her, maybe she'll feel bad. So we'll walk away from her and cheer in some other place. Cheer in some other place in the auditorium.
Well, you know, we can rectify this one. What was their name? Or do they listen to the podcast?
Oh, no,
make up a name.
Let's go with Bob. Yeah.
Bob. Okay. So we got to get Bob on the podcast and redo the finals of the singing competition.
Yeah.
And I'll judge it.
I don't know, because I don't want Bob to know that I felt bad either. And I don't want Bob to think that he did something wrong or that, like, he was bad in some way either. Like, because he didn't do anything wrong. He was amazing. He did everything right. I was just petty and selfish.
Worse.
Worse. Yes, exactly. And it's, yeah, and looking back on it, and I guess it was more of like embarrassment, like, oh, I didn't make it. Why did I even try if I was just going to like embarrass myself and then not make it to the finals like my other classmate? And, you know, probably at the time, maybe I wanted to cast a spell, not on someone, but maybe to change the results in some way or redo that day in the semifinals. But Bob didn't do anything wrong. I didn't want to cast. I would never cast a spell on Bob. In fact, Bob is a very lovely person.
Yeah. The point here is that it's really easy to feel upset, distressed, FOMO, jealousy, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, for reasons that have nothing to do with you or the people who caused it. You know, your friends might be just going out to dinner because they wanted to talk about something specific or because you weren't available or because they just simply innocently forgot or, you know, whatever, any number of reasons. Right. No one is necessarily responsible, but that feeling is very normal and natural. And maybe what's not a natural response is to curse that person's child.
And make them sleep.
So... Yeah, I definitely feel the empathy for Maleficent in this situation, but I do not condone her response to that. Even though
it was a little bit badass. Cool. She was kind of like showing off her power too. I think it was also like a show off.
Yeah,
like what I can do.
And she is so powerful.
I know.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, the power to curse. Then she hypnotizes mm-hmm. Aurora to get. to get the pin needle stick.
Yeah.
And she flies in the new movie with wings, but in the old movie she could like spin her staff around or whatever.
Yeah.
Use her staff to float.
Yeah.
She has those green flames. She makes trees grow out of the ground.
Yep.
I mean, she does a lot of stuff. And as powerful as she was, which is another reason I was like confused from the live action movie, is that she seemed to struggle sometimes to fight regular people, soldiers, when it seems like she could have just used her magic just to kind of obliterate them.
Right.
But that's aside the point.
Yeah. But
I read that she describes her own skills as all the powers of hell.
Wow. That's impressive. I hope that if I die and if I go to hell, I hope that Satan is Maleficent.
She might be.
She could be. That sounds possible. But the most badass power that she has, which is in the 1959 film, she can turn into a dragon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's a literal dragon. And tying into that, right, like, I wonder what it's like being someone who can turn into a dangerous dragon, especially in that world or in that universe of Sleeping Beauty, because, like, it's really badass to me, but in their world, a dragon is, like, the greatest destroyer and image of evil. And what is it like to look in the mirror and know that you are seen as essentially a monster? And then the princess is like granted exceptional beauty and power, and she's granted all of these wishes. And then Maleficent is always and will be seen as a monster, and no one will like see her as anything else. And that's...
Yeah.
And that's scary, I think.
It is. And in the 1959 version, they don't give us any inkling of why Maleficent is the way that she is. We got to believe that there is... Well, we don't have to, I guess. But there probably is a reason that she is the way that she is. What doesn't help the situation is that the way that she looks and the way that people treat her is as someone who's evil. And that just reinforces this idea in her mind that she is this terrible person. So even if she wanted to do good, she just has all these things coming at her that are all these signs from herself and from other people that are telling her that she is this terrible thing. And that force can be really powerful.
Yeah.
You know, the way that you perceive yourself and the way others perceive you can really actually change the way you are. I can imagine that for her, that's been a spiral deeper and deeper into evilness. And really the only way to progress out of that is to change her self-image, which would take a lot of work, and for other people to give her the chance and to look at her and maybe say something positive, or maybe invite her to the christening of their child's birth.
Mm-hmm.
Those little actions can, over time, start to reinforce better behavior. And that is what could potentially help her out rather than continue to push her down a dark path.
Yes, right. And I don't know if you noticed, well, I guess you probably didn't watch the movie, but throughout the 1959 film, one of the good fairy godmothers tried, like, actually empathized with Maleficent and tried to get others to do so as well, but they didn't listen. So there was one part where one of the fairy godmothers says, we could reason with her, like, we could reason with Maleficent to maybe take back this curse or something. Like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you could have a deal, you could think of a different consequence or something else, like, okay, just promise me that you'll invite me to your next party or something and I'll take away the curse. Like, they could have totally asked, but they didn't. And then the other fairies were like, no, she's too bad to reason with, and they don't even try. And then the same fairy godmother a little later just has this side comment that's like, she, meaning Maleficent, doesn't know anything about love, kindness. I don't think she's very happy. And she says it just very, like, as, like, a side comment. And no one really noticed it. And it was like, oh, like, you totally, this all could have been avoided. if maybe they would have just, I don't know, tried something. Or maybe not. Who knows? Maybe Maleficent is pretty evil. And you know, you talk a lot about, like, you know, helping Maleficent to have better behavior. But I don't want her to change how she is. Is that weird?
No.
I like her that way. I mean, death is hard. But
yeah, murder.
I like her evil. I think she looks good evil. I think she handles it well and knows how to use her power. And sometimes we talk about how there has to be evil in the world in order for there to be good. I'm not saying that that justifies evil. I don't know what I'm saying. Basically, yeah, keep her evil.
She wears it well. She looks good. Yeah. She's inspiring in a way. She's powerful. She's sexy.
She has really good cheekbones. I'm really jealous of those if we're going to keep talking about envy.
envy is, I think, a good word for her. I mean, the whole FOMO thing we talked about is a good example of that. But the movie really reinforces that with her color scheme.
The green
flames. It really struck me as this may be her driving force is envy. And yeah. I do feel bad for her because I know that doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And from envy, rage often grows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you turn into a dragon, you know, just, you know, a casual Friday.
Yeah.
If you get envious, you turn into a dragon. Yeah, I love the green. I like how, like, all of her henchmen are like, worship the green. we bow to the green. And I can really understand her envy because the royals, like Aurora's family, they get everything. Okay, everything works out for them. So you know how Aurora and the prince, they randomly meet in the forest for the first time, just when she's like picking berries and talking to animals like every Disney princess does. And the prince comes in and they don't know each other, but they have a moment where they fall in love and they dance with each other. Like, what? Like, that just works out for them. They have power. They have castles. They, for Aurora's christening, she gets like 3 wishes. That's like about beauty and about something else. And it's like, I really wish that when I was a little baby, someone was like, she will be beautiful. And then I just become $1 million Instagram influencer and my life is amazing. But no, Maleficent doesn't get any of that. Like everything works out so well for the royals. And
well,
it's kind of insane.
To your point, it's a lot easier to be good when everything is on your side.
Yeah, the universe, everything, the animals.
Also, are they good? Like, do we know? Like, I think that what we know historically is that kings and royalty in general don't have a great track record with like treating people below them better. So,
right.
You know, Aurora and the royal family are the quote unquote good people in this story, but we don't know that. We don't know. Right. We don't know how they treat their subjects.
Yeah.
We don't know how much money they're spending on the christening while their serfs are out toiling in mud pits with no food, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They might need the shame walk. From
Game of Thrones.
From Game of Thrones. Yeah. I did see some, you know, some parallels with Game of Thrones when I was watching. Kind of. It's like a Disney Game of Thrones.
You know, Maleficent kings. Kind of like, gosh, it's been too long. What's the dragon woman?
Oh, Daenerys.
Yeah, Maleficent is kind of like Daenerys.
Yeah, because she's got dragons and
she's coming to she take the
queen. Burns it up.
Yeah.
Tear down the royals. Yeah, it's just like a kid version of Game of Thrones. And there's even this scene where like the kings are talking about like Aurora and the prince marrying for political reasons to join their kingdoms together. And they're talking about, oh, I got this new castle for the prince and the princess. And I don't know, they're probably strategically planning wars together. They're like...
Yeah, did it ever occur to anyone that you could just merge your kingdoms?
Right? Like, why do they have to get married?
You're the king, they're the king, you both want to merge. Like, you could just make that happen. Like, you don't have to marry off your children to do it.
But then that wouldn't be tradition, Joe. And tradition, no matter how oppressive it is, takes precedence in Sleeping Beauty world.
Well, that's another thing I think we can appreciate about Maleficent is she is certainly not traditional.
No.
In her fashion, in the way that she presents herself.
Even in her plan, she has the prince, she locks him up. So her plan, this is her plan. It's actually pretty malicious. Her plan is to, she lives up to her name.
Maleficent.
Maleficent. She plans, she takes the prince in captivity and she puts him in a dungeon. And she says, okay, you're going to stay here your entire life in this dungeon. And then once you're like, what, 80 years old or like a crickety old man, you're going to get on your old horse, who apparently also lived that long. And you're going to leave. You're going to leave the castle when you're like a really old man and you're going to go kiss your really old bride. And that's it. So you're going to spend your entire life here and then just the little life that you have left, you'll be able to kiss your bride and spend that time with her, maybe, if she's not, you know, already dead from it. It's like kind of, it's kind of intense. Was she doing a dissertation on like how long true love can last? Like, can it last a whole lifetime? So then will the kiss
work? I love this. I think this is really spectacular.
Yeah.
Because he will age, but Aurora will still be a young princess.
Really? I guess I don't know if she will age same time. Yeah.
I believe that part of the curse, and I could be wrong, I believe that part of the curse is that she remains basically suspended in time.
Yeah.
So the prince would be like old and frumpy and still in love, and then he would kiss her and she'd wake up and this like old frail dude.
Right. So I think Maleficent is also doing some like research on love. Maybe we should probably, you know, support her.
She's trying to find out.
Support her hypothesis. Yeah, on whether like can true love withstand such a big like age gap, and then can it withstand all this time?
Is love truly blind?
Interesting, but we'll never know because she was slain, which. Yeah. No, I won't digress into that. That doesn't really have much to do with Maleficent. Okay, I'll say it and you can cut it out if you want.
Boy, make me do more editing.
I'll say it really, really fast. But the longer I... Okay. The fairy godmothers basically get the prince out and help... And they help the prince slay Maleficent. The prince actually doesn't do much in slaying Maleficent. The fairy godmothers, like, do it all. So the prince really didn't do much. Maleficent knew, Aurora doesn't deserve this guy. I'm going to put him in the dungeon because he's a slacker. Okay.
All right. Do you have any other thoughts? I've kind of retired all my...
Yeah, I'm done. We just have one last gift.
Oh, we have a gift?
Yes. A wonderful gift.
A blessing?
A blessing. I think it is a blessing. Artistic gift from a writer. I really like her. Her name is Linda M. Crate, and she submitted her poem written from the perspective of Maleficent. And so I'm going to read her poem. I'm going to read her poem, which will give us more perspective on Maleficent and a different angle on Maleficent. And Linda M. Crate's poetry, short stories, articles, and reviews have been published in a myriad of magazines, both online and in print. She has 8 published chapbooks.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow, you are very productive. I need to learn from you, Linda. A Mermaid Crashing into Dawn, Less Than a Man, If Tomorrow Never Comes, My Wings Were Made to Fly, Splintered with Terror, More Than Bone Music, The Samurai, and The Follow the Black Raven.
Those are the names of her chapbooks.
Yes, those are all the names of the chapbooks. And she has 2 micro chapbooks called Heaven Instead. And Moon Mother.
Linda, Tiana's laughing, but it's not about you.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell Joe not to make me laugh. She is the author of the novel Phoenix Tears. Wow. So yeah, Linda M. Crate, check her out. And we thank you so much, Linda, for sharing your poem with us. And this is called Actions Have Consequences. How is it that you knew of three lesser fairies, but not me. To be told one isn't wanted at a christening, an event where everyone is invited, was quite the insult. I could have blessed your precious daughter, but you earned that curse. You don't neglect the Queen of the Fae and expect to go unpunished for your rudeness. Some may say it is wrong to curse a child, but had I cursed her parents, they would say the same. I am not to blame for the poor decisions of humans. Actions have consequences.
Wow, thanks, Linda. That was awesome.
Yes.
If you have poetry, short story, little monologue you wrote from the perspective of a villain or about a villain that you really care about, share it with us and we will probably share it on the podcast or on our website or on our Facebook or our Instagram, all of which you can find at Next Door Villain, also Twitter, also TikTok. We're on whatever. I don't even
Instagram.
Know all the things anymore.
I work really hard on the Instagram, usually.
Tiana does, and I do not.
That's okay.
This has been Next Door Villain.
Yeah.
I'm Joe.
I'm Tiana, and it's been great to be your neighbor.
Thanks for listening.